Hello there, comic book fans. This is Andy Slaughter, host of Comic Review Weekly. Welcome to another episode. If you're wondering what the noise in the background is, I'm recording this from the car of Marty Blevins, who is the writer of Gravy Boy. And basically, we're just returning from comic convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. But that doesn't mean the reviews are going to stop. I've got a few books to review, and then you're going to get to hear some of the interviews we got to have with people at the convention. So it'll be a good show. Just sit tight, and we will do our best to entertain you. The first book we're going to review is Tag. Tag Issue 2 from Boom Studios, written by Keith Giffen and Mike Leeb, with artwork by Cody Chamberlain and Chi. Okay, so in the first issue, the main character gets tagged by someone with a condition that slowly, slowly decays his body as if he were dead. I mean, basically, it turns you into a zombie, but unlike other zombie stories, you sort of keep your, intelligence, only your body is decaying around you. And it's all part of this game. Somebody, or I don't even know if it's a game, it's a curse that somebody started, and you pass it on to people. If a person gets this, the only way they can be free of it is by passing it on to somebody. Now, they can't just pass it on to anybody. It's a particular person, and whoever has this condition will have dreams of whoever they're supposed to tag with the disorder. But anyway, that's in the first issue. We basically learned that John, who's breaking up with his ex-girlfriend, or rather she's breaking up with him, and as they're leaving the restaurant where their breakup happened, he gets tagged by somebody, and the ex-girlfriend decides to hang around and help him with his condition once he starts decaying and the doctors don't know what's going on with him. So he gets out of the hospital because they obviously can't help him, and he goes back to his apartment, and him and his girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, look up on the internet a website where that I forget the name of it. It's basically Tag, you're it, and it's got stories from people who've had this condition. And that's where the first issue ended. And the second issue begins, rather, with them learning more about this. They read some of the accounts of people that had this and where it came from, or at least especially one guy who owned a grocery store, and one of his customers came in and tagged him with it. And obviously he survived. He had to tag somebody else with it so he could live on to tell this tale. This issue furthers the character drama between John and the ex-girlfriend, who has decided to help him. And in my opinion, it's quite a bit better than the last one. The dynamic of the breakup for the characters adds a really nice backdrop to the story. The first issue, I thought, was, I mean, dark, obviously, because of the kind of story this was, but I found it really hard to like the characters, because John doesn't have much of a personality. I mean, not that he deserves to die by slowly decaying or anything, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, as a reader, it's hard to identify with him, or at least it was in the first issue. So anyway, the first issue characters are a little bit hard to like, but now with the second, it's interesting. I don't really read many comic books where the dynamic of a relationship breakup is explored. I mean, sure, you might see a breakup, or you might see people meet up and begin a romance, but breakups, not so much. So I found this interesting, and it's definitely a departure for Keith Giffen, because normally I associate him with humorous titles like The Defenders from Marvel, or the Justice League International, Can't Believe It's Not Justice League, and other Boom Studios titles such as Hero Squared. Anyway, as far as the writing goes, it's got some really good dialogue. They're building suspense and interest because they're making me, as a reader, ask questions like, okay, what's causing this? We've seen how this thing works. We've seen the mechanism. Where did it start? So I really hope they explore that with the next issue. It's only going to be three or four issues, and they're not on a monthly schedule, so keep your eye out for it. As far as the art goes, it's definitely a good fit for this story. It's a little bit murky, but it does the job. Not really too many complaints. Overall, I give this 3.5 out of 5 stars. And next up, I've got a trade paperback from DC Comics. It's Nightwing Year One, originally published as Nightwing Issues 101 through 106. It's written by Chuck Dixon and Scott Beatty, with artwork from Scott McDaniel and inks by Andy Owens. Okay, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about this because, frankly, I can't really remember that much of it. It didn't have much of an impact on me. But it does, the benefit of it, it does detail Dick Grayson's exit as Batman's partner, Robin, and his entry into early days as the crime fighter Nightwing. Which pretty much most people know that's what he's doing now. He's got his own title. He was almost killed off in Infinite Crisis until DC apparently really received so many fan letters and fan response about Nightwing that they decided to not kill him, which is a good thing, I guess. But yeah, it's interesting because it sort of shows how him and Batman's trust for each other, as far as depending on each other as partners, it began to wane a bit towards the end because Robin was getting older and he was more involved with what was going on in the Teen Titans. And he did still help Batman out, but he was constantly late, and he just wasn't there as much as Batman needed him. So eventually, Batman just kind of was like, look, all right, just do your own thing, and said he didn't want a partner. He fired him, basically. And from that point, Bruce said he was going to work solo. Well, Nightwing, he has a few adventures in this book. He goes back to the circus for a while. He meets Deadman, who inspired his costume, at least his first disco-ish costume. And that's about it. There's at one point... The book also shows us a little bit about how Batman started working with Jason Todd as the second Robin. And obviously this upsets Dick because Dick was under the impression that Bruce wasn't going to have another partner, much less a kid from the street who was trying to steal the tires from the Batmobile. So, they kind of have a contest where Bruce is running a training session for Jason, and it's called the Gauntlet. And Alfred is at the end of it dressed up like Two-Face, but some of Two-Face's former thugs happen to be riding in a car beside him, and they're saying, hey, it's Two-Face, we haven't seen him in months, let's kidnap him. So they kidnap him, and wackiness ensues, and in the end, Dick Grayson becomes Nightwing, and Jason Todd goes on to get killed at the hands of the Joker. Writing is okay. Like I said, there's really nothing too great or memorable about this. It's your kind of standard superhero fair stuff. Artwork, I have to admit, I'm really not a fan of the Scott McDaniel style. I mean, I respect that he's a professional, and I respect that, you know, he's obviously got a good body of work out there, and there are fans to enjoy it, but in my opinion, it just comes across like a rough collision of anime and Western, and it was a little bit confusing as far as the action goes to see what was happening in especially during some of the fight sequences. So anyway, Nightwing Year One trade paperback gets 2 stars out of 5. And next up, I've got another trade paperback. Okay, so, like I said, I've got another trade paperback here. This one from 1996. Now, I don't know about you all, but I was under the impression that if the date on it is anywhere in the 90s, you're pretty safe in avoiding it. not so, because especially as far as avoiding it goes, especially in the case of the Zero Hour sequel to the DC Crisis on Infinite Earths, which was nowhere near the quality of the original Zero Hour, wasn't. And they did a lot of revamps, similar to Infinite Crisis now. They even had Zero Issues that kind of added things to the character's origins that were wholly unnecessary, and now are pretty much retconned. However, I found that there is a gem in the rough of Zero Hour. There is at least one title that came out of this shining like gold, and I completely missed it until now. It's called Starman. It's written by James Robinson, with artwork from Tony Harris, and inks by Wade von Graubatcher. And it's called Sins of the Father, this collection. I believe it collects issues 1 through 6. And the synopsis, basically, is Jack Knight is the son of the Golden Age Starman, who Starman, originally in the Golden Age, was a Justice Society of America member. Anyway, this is his younger son. And Jack is a junk collector who follows in the family's footsteps when his brother, who is acting in his father's place as Starman, gets killed by the Mist. Now, the Mist is a longtime nemesis of the original Starman, and he's, at this point, he's well advanced in age, but he still is very, very sharp, very intelligent villain, very cold and calculating. And him and his family, he has a son and a daughter, the Mist does, they launch a crime wave on Opal City, beginning with Jack's brother being killed. So, reluctantly, Jack takes up his father's old equipment, which consists mainly of a cosmic rod, which the cosmic rod basically has the ability to let him fly and shoot laser beams and kind of do some other crazy stuff, which they don't really explore in the first trade paperback, because I think he has to make modifications to it later. But anyway, he reluctantly steps up to the throne because of this all-out crime wave on Opal City. All of Jack's life, it's been the older brother who is the real hero, or so it seems. As we progress in the story, we're given little hints it positions Jack as, well, kind of like the rest of us, not really willing to be a superhero and save people out of your own personal goodwill. I mean, he's a good guy, but he runs a business. He's got the same problems as the rest of us, and he's under the shadow of his father's legacy. So in that sense, he's a very relatable character. And he begins this quest very slowly. Luckily, he knows some jujitsu, so he takes his father's cosmic rod and fights the crime wave, and eventually meets up with the son of the Mist who killed his brother. And that's the premise. I can't really do it justice. I mean, along the way to this climactic battle with the Mist's son, who stole the rest of his father's equipment, we're really treated to some great, great character moments. Jack learns more about himself. As he's fighting the Mist's son, he has these flashbacks to where, his brother was, picking on him and doing stuff to him, which, they go into further in the story. Him and his brother didn't have the best relationship. But then you also see moments where his brother stuck up for him selflessly, where no matter what happened, he was Jack's brother, and he did love him. And it's really a touching moment in the middle of this well-written battle. And he also, through this, we begin to see that maybe he is the true heir to the Starman legacy. Another part of the Sins of the Father trade paperback are the follow-up stories, which are really, really neat. One of them is just a one-shot that features a Hawaiian shirt that's the gateway to another dimension. And Jack, being a junk collector, he manages to get his hands on this, and it's not what you think. I mean, as far as superhero stories go, this is such a break from the traditional costumes thing. I mean, Jack doesn't even wear a costume. He has a trench coat, and he's got his tattoos, and that's about it, really. Anyway, I give this trade paperback 4.5 out of 5 stars. It really took me by surprise. There's strong character development. It's overall a great reluctant hero story that avoids all of the pitfalls and cliches that we as comic fans have come to expect. Really no complaints, a standout 90s book. So, that's all for the reviews, but we have a nice little segment up ahead where Marty Blevins is going to go around and interview different people at the convention and talk about why they like the comics and why they like the Charlotte Comic Con, which is put on by Dave's Comic and Cards, Comics and Cards. And we just think this is an important thing to do every once in a while. Every once in a while, we like to have little segments at the convention on the ground floor, I guess, because that is a big part of comicdom. I mean, these shows, you know, that we go to and that the pros go to. I mean, this is really where it's at. This is where you get to shake hands with the pros. This is where up and coming stars want to go and you know, hopefully get noticed. So anyway, that's going to come up next.
Hello and welcome to the Con Report. This is Marty Blevins on site at the Charlotte Comic Con, put on by Dave's Comics in Charlotte, North Carolina. This is a one-day show, and it's one that we go to. I think it's quarterly. We come around pretty much every time they have one. We set up a table here, and we usually have quite a good time doing it. I'm here with Dave of Dave's Comics, the host for the Charlotte Comic Con. How long have you been doing these conventions?
Since about 94.
And how often do you do these?
3 to 4 times a year.
One-day shows, all of those?
All one-day shows. Back in 96, we did a 3-day show, but I like the one-day ones better.
You get pretty good response from the comic community?
Yeah, all the people come. You know, we'll probably hit 300 people today, and that's really good. And all the stores that are in the area, they all help out and put out flyers, and they all sit up here at the show.
What would you say, if you had a strength or a particular flavor? Every convention has its own little flavor. Is there anything that yours is particularly well known for or particularly good at?
Well, you know, we have a variety of things. I think our artists and our writers are always, they're always here. We never have any cancellations on artists and writers, and they always show up, and they do a good job, and all our dealers and all our store owners, you know, and everybody pushes for the show. We just don't have any one big strength, but we have a lot of little strengths.
And in addition to the comics, sometimes you also have some media guests. Can you remember any of those few memorable ones?
Well, 2 years ago, we had Noel Neal, who played Lois Lane on the original TV Superman, and we had Aaron Gray from Buck Rogers this past May, and I'm working on some people. I don't want to divulge into who it is because I might not get them, so, you know, we're working on 2 or 3 right now to get one, and so hopefully this coming May we'll have somebody really, really good.
Do you know when the next convention is going to be at?
Well, we're not sure whether it'll be at this hotel, or hopefully it'll be at this hotel. We love this hotel. This is a great, great hotel. The room lays out really well. All the dealers seem to like it, and we have a lot of fun at it. I'd hate to move, but, you know, the hotel's being taken over by the Crown Plaza. And so in January, so I don't have a date for next year. It will be sometime in May and somewhere. We're not sure where yet.
Have you been at this site then for how long?
About five or six years. 5 or 6 years right here.
Yeah, so it is a really nice setup, and it's not too crowded, and there's a room for a lot of people to come through. So, all right. Any closing thoughts?
Well, you know, I just hope that all the guys in here make a lot of money, and I hope the artists and writers do really well, and I hope they come back to our next show.
And what is the website address for the show?
It's www.charlottecomiccon.com.
CharlotteComicCon.com. All right. Well, thank you, sir. All right. I'm back with a real live fan. This is one of the individuals walking around. And for the record, state your name.
Royce Thrower.
Royce. All right. And what brings you to the Charlotte Comic Con?
Well, it's in-state. I love comics. I love going to conventions, and it's very convenient, and it's a very small but friendly show with a lot of wonderful people, such as yourself, of course.
Shucks.
Just a lot of fun. It's a good way to spend a Sunday afternoon.
All right. And how long have you been coming to this show?
Just over a year. This is, I think, my fifth show.
All right. And are you finding anything good today?
Actually, yes. There are a lot of good choices here, a lot of good magazines, a lot of good artists here to talk to. I just spoke with John Hitchcock, who just published a book called Dear John, a lot of correspondence with Alex Toth, who is one of my fan favorites. So good to meet John.
Beautiful. And when you come to these, are you most interested in the original art, the books, one of everything? What?
Actually, I guess the primary motivation is the art, but mainly it's coming down and talking to some of the people. I just love getting to know some of the creators behind the scenes and spending a few minutes with them.
And the smaller con, have you been to many larger conventions?
Just the Heroes Con in Charlotte in the summer, yes.
And comparing the two, I mean, smaller con versus the large, what's the advantage to this one?
I just think the friendly, small-town sort of feel to this con is much more preferable to me than the big one. I feel like I'm going into a Target or a Walmart when I go to Heroes, which is great if you're there to buy. But if you're here to just talk with people about comics and to just share the love, this is a great place.
Excellent. Well, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, so tell me your name.
Kenneth.
All right, Kenneth. And how long have you been into comics?
Well, since my dad got me into them, I don't know how long.
Okay. All right. So for as long as you can remember?
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite titles?
Teen Titans, maybe the Dragonlance comics.
All right. How long have you been coming to these shows?
A few years.
Okay. How old are you?
13.
So a few years, that's a pretty good portion of your life. What do you like best about these shows? The comics, the art, talking to people?
Talking to people.
Yeah. Okay. So you've been to this show, and what other shows have you been to?
The big comic book convention every year.
The Heroes Con? All right. So what are some of your favorite parts about coming to these shows?
Talking to people. Buying comics, getting my dad to buy comics.
That's always the best. If I can get my dad to buy comics for me, I'm in good shape, too. All right. So how about movies? Any favorite movies?
Well, I like all types of movies. I don't have a favorite.
All right. That's fair. Are you looking forward to any of the comic book movies that are coming out in the next couple of years?
What comic book movies?
All right. Let's see, Iron Man. The new Spider-Man's coming up, Ghost Rider.
Yeah, I'm going to probably see Spider-Man 3 and Ghost Rider, maybe.
Well, that then is... do you have anything else you want to say to the world?
Blah.
All right, thanks. All right, we're here now with two female fans of comics, and I just want to start off, what's your names?
Morgan. Talitha.
So, how long have you been collecting comics?
I've been collecting for about 2 years.
I just read first.
I'm being honest.
What are some of your favorite titles?
I read Astonishing X-Men and a lot of the Batman movie series, like the one he has Secrets. I really like that one a lot.
X-Men, Daredevil, stuff like that.
And I was talking to you earlier. You said you read a lot of your comics, too, online?
Yeah.
Right. Off of the official websites, I'm assuming?
Yes, of course.
Right. Okay, how long have you been coming to these cons?
For 2 years.
This is my first time at one ever. I just go to comic book stores.
Whee!
So you're primarily for the comics or for the art? What are you looking at here?
Art. I'm talking about both.
Comics.
A lot of the covers, like, I usually pick a character and then try to collect all the covers that are on there, so I have a lot of the Joker and Catwoman and Rogue.
Yeah, well,
she didn't get anything.
Well, she reads them online, so she doesn't need to.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
it's better to read them online.
What's your favorite thing about this con?
A lot of selections.
The prices. That guy was selling his for 25.
Yeah, a quarter.
25. Okay, I'll be back in a second. Okay. Any parting thoughts about comics in general or the conventions?
I'm definitely going to come to more.
Yeah.
Have you been to any of the larger conventions, or is it this one primarily it?
Heroes is the largest one that I went to. Yeah. And I went for
it. Yeah. You went last year. Have you been before that?
The year before.
Okay. You're going to try and hit it this year?
Try.
I think that's pretty much it. Do you have anything that you'd like to add to the comic book universe?
No.
Oh, girls can like comics too. Don't look at us weird.
Exactly.
Here today in the Artist Alley is Mr. Steve Bird. What are you selling here today, Steve?
Let's see. I've got a little bit of meth, a little bit of crack. You mean the not
right,
on
right.
The table. You mean on top of the table. I've got some comics and some trade paperbacks and some original art. Mostly DC.
All right, and what is your role in comics and art?
I am the inker. So, yeah, I'm assuming everyone who's going to be listening to this podcast knows what that is.
Absolutely.
But, if not, go watch Chasing Amy and, I'm Banky. People try to get me with that whole thing. So, you a tracer? I'm just like, yeah, like, I'm going to get pissed off by that. It's like, hey, there was a tracer as a main character in a movie. I'm just happy about that.
So what brings you to Dave's?
What brings me to Dave's? I have had to blow off the last several ones of his little one-day cons for a while, and after a while, this time, I finally did not have stuff that I needed to do, so I finally decided I should make it down. So, it's fun to get down here, and also, I have a 9-week-old daughter at home, and I've been playing Mr. Mom. My wife has already gone back to work, and being freelance, I've been staying home taking care of her.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. So this is actually the longest I've been away from her so far, but I figure this is sort of my first, weekend away to be not dad. So so Rick and I went out and saw Borat last night, and, stuff that I can't do when I'm playing Mr.
Rick, catch him.
Yes, Mr. Rick Ketchum, who is also—he's also Banky.
Right.
We're both Bankies.
This is the Banky aisle that I'm on, apparently.
Hey, exactly. And, well, Greensboro is apparently the Banky city.
Right.
Something in the water there. Everyone just traces everything.
Greensboro, North Carolina, does seem to be a little mecca for comic artists. It's
comics inkers, really. I mean, you've got Kelly, you've got Randy and stuff who are pencilers, but there's a and bizarrely high number of people who either make a living in inking or are trying to break in.
Yeah.
It's really strange. So I think it may have to do with John Davis down in Ashboro kind of acting as sort of a mentor to a bunch of people. I think he, sort of primed the pump on a lot of that stuff, and now they're, just sort of a bunch of us there, so people see it more when, you're a comics fan in Greensboro.
So have you taken anybody under your wing yet?
Not in Greensboro necessarily, although I have a lot of people who are like, dude, I have a kid who loves comics. Can I bring him by the studio? And I keep saying yeah, and then they never do. But no, at conventions, though, I actually really, really liked, I really appreciated it when people would take the time to sit down and give me a really thorough critique with a lot of constructive criticism in it. And I try to do that for anyone who is, anyone who takes the time and interest to come up to me and show me their stuff and want to get my input as an inker. I'll do what I can for them and try to, give them my 2 cents, because that's the way you get better. And I got a lot of that from a lot of people. And, hopefully those people will be able to take that and learn from it. And I've had people come back to me and be like, dude, that you critiqued my stuff like 2 or 3 years ago, and like my inking just got, you're the one who made me a better inker. I'm like, whoa, really? that's me? Are you sure you're not talking to that guy over there? But, and yeah, that is a really good feeling. And however, every now and then you crush some kid's dreams who really, you know, wasn't expecting an actual honest critique and was just looking to be like, dude, kid, you rock. And I had this one kid who came up to me one day at the Charlotte Con. Oh, my God. I was totally the one who destroyed his dream. He came up, and he was like, he was so pumped. He was pumped. And he had this, like, big piece of paper that he had drawn a ninja with, like, markers. And, like, clearly did not understand, like, you know, force perspective and stuff like that, but his, like, fist was coming right at you, but his fist was, like, the same size as, like, the rest of his arm, and, you know, just all this stuff, and I was just trying to be like, okay, let's see, where do I start, and just trying to be like, okay, kid, let's just talk about, you know, where you need to go. First of all, let's talk about paper and materials, and then, you know, perspective, and this fist should be, and you could just see each word, you could just see his you could just see another little piece of his dream snapping and breaking and dying. And when the kid left, everyone, and the thing is, I said, you should go over and talk to the guys at the Gaijin table. They're really good, especially Brian, at just telling you what you need to know, meeting you where you're at, and telling you what you need to know. He's like, all right. And he just sort of slunk off, and they're like, dude, you killed that kid. Everyone in the Tsunami group was like, what did you do? Oh, man, you just crushed that. And then you sent him to those Gaijin guys, they're going to tear him apart. I'm like, I'm sorry if you come to me, I'm assuming you're looking for actual input, you know, so.
So Marker Ninja, not high on your buy list, right?
Well, it depends, you know, there are those guys who, what are those guys? Rick, who are those two guys who did those little, like, crayon drawings that I've got in the studio?
I know they did Weirdsville. I can't remember their names right now.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, there are these two guys, and they do some goofy little crayon drawings and stuff. And you got to know what you're doing. You know, you can pull it off if you want to do. So I'm sure if they decided to do Marker Ninja drawings, it would probably be worth the price of purchase. No, they do great things. Like, you know, they do pictures of comic book characters. They did this little goofy cartoon picture of Bruce Banner, and it's just him sitting there holding up his ripped up purple pants, shirtless. And, you know, they had one that was the Invisible Woman, and they just wrote the Invisible Woman on the bottom of it, and that's it. There's your drawing. And Stick, and they just had a drawing of a stick. You can get away with that, and that's totally cool. But no, not if you're like, dude, this is the coolest drawing ever. Tell me how cool I am, you know.
One final, last question. What, if you had to name top comic right now for you, what is it?
Oh, jeez, I don't read comics. honestly, I really don't tend to have time with a newborn in the house and, you know, just trying to make a living. But let's see, what I have gone and bought a couple of issues of Apocalypse Nerd, the Peter Bagg comic, and I need to go and read it. I'm sure I'm going to love it, and I'm picking up the Hate Annuals whenever he puts them out. So, I mean, I still try to keep track of Peter Bagg's work, so he is awesome. I don't know, what other stuff? I was a big fan of Hard Time while I was working on it, but unfortunately it got canceled. And so there you go. That's pretty much it. Yeah,
well, thank
sure.
You.
Not a problem.
All right,
take care.
All right, I'm here at the Charlotte Comic Con in the dealer's booth with Shelton Drum, proprietor of Heroes Aren't Hard to Find in Charlotte, and also organizer, host of Heroes Con annually here in Charlotte also. So, Shelton, how's this show going for you?
It's doing all right today. You know, it looks like they have pretty good attendance, and it's kind of a laid-back show for me. I've got some Silver Age here, and everybody's looking for usually new stuff, it seems like, at these shows, or cheap stuff, and I just brought some of the good stuff, and if I sell a few things, it feels good, and I've got to talk to a lot of people.
That's right. And I think that's probably one of our favorite parts about this show, too, is just the ability to get out there and talk to the people in the industry. How long have you been coming to this show?
Well, I guess I've been coming most of the whole time. Dave has been doing it, Dave and Rick, probably, what, 6 or 8 years, maybe 10. Of course, we're all one happy family here in the Carolinas, and we see all the same guys at virtually every show that we do in the area. So, you know, it's fun to get together and just kind of touch base with everybody once a month or a couple times a month.
Do you get a lot of folks coming through who are more interested in the Silver Age? I know there's not a lot of that here, so, I mean, they would probably come to your booth for that.
Well, you know, every convention you've got all types of customers, and they're all types of collectors, you know. Some people collect old stuff because they enjoy the art and they want to read them and appreciate them. Other people collect them for the investment, so they're probably looking for, you know, graded stuff. And then there's kids looking for brand new stuff, you know. So every collector is different. And at a show like this, you can't cater to every collector. You got to kind of bring what you have and what you enjoy. And Silver Age is what I enjoy carrying around talking about. So that's usually what I bring to shows.
So let's talk about Heroes Con a little bit. You're well into the planning stage for this next year, I'm assuming. So how are things shaping up?
Well, I'm not sure we are well into it, but we certainly should be. The date's set, you know, all the facilities are squared away, and we're working on invitations for the guest list right now. And certainly by the first of the year, we'll have those announcements made and start building the entire guest list again. You know, most of the people who come year after year will be back. They've all expressed that. So it's almost an automatic thing. You know, you just start embellishing as you get closer and fleshing out all the programming and who all's going to be there.
All right. And I know for us that Heroes last year was one of the biggest hits. It was a big year for you. So what was your highlight of Heroes last year?
Well, there were so many. I mean, just the strength of that guest list and just being able to hang out with all those people at the same time. It was just fun. I mean, we had so much publicity out of it, too. I mean, it's incredible the value of the media, you know. It was just a fun ride. It was heartwarming, to tell you the truth, you know, all those people coming out and supporting the show.
Well, ever since we've been doing the comic, we've been at Heroes, and we look forward to seeing you again this year.
Yep. Can't wait to see you. June 15th, 16th, and 17th, Charlotte Convention Center.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay, well, that's all for this edition of Comic Review Weekly. You can email me your comments and suggestions at andy@gravyboy.com. I'd love to hear from you. If you have any ideas about books that we can review on the show, please let us know. Also, again, visit www.gravyboy.com. We have a weekly web comic, a Fanboy Almanac, like updated every week. And that's it. Have a good week, everybody. Thanks for listening.